In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Uh-oh, Jackson, you've done it. You have enraged the coach.
Please don't. Smooth Criminal, great song by Michael Jackson.
Canceled. Michael Jackson canceled.
No, Michael Jackson's not canceled. He's dead. I hate that cover song.
Believe he's not, by the way.
What?
He's not dead? So he's like a Tupac?
You've never seen that? There's ambulance footage where they brought somebody out.
He has a podcast. It's I'm Not Dead.
Wow.
It was him under a jacket or something. I don't know.
That's Alien Ant Farm, right?
Yes, correct.
Correct.
Yeah. Cover.
I'm sorry, Wiggy. The last thing I want to do is offend you, but
That's
one of the best covers of all time.
Smooth Criminal, such a great song, like Michael Jackson. There are some songs that you just don't cover.
We're kind of one note today so far. We're very rocky. We don't have any other genres.
Oh, balance when it comes to genres?
Hey, suggestions.
Yeah. Nelly, we did Nelly, but that was just because we talked about St. Louis.
That was pretty good, though.
When are we going to launch Christmas music? Monday?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. I like to wait on that. I don't like to rush the season. But
Jesus is always here.
And Santa's always watching.
I think that's a pretty good cover, Wiggy.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. There are just some artists that you shouldn't cover. Like, don't try to cover, it's very difficult to cover Michael Jackson. Don't try to cover Bob Marley. Stay away from trying to cover Journey.
Right.
There are just certain things that I can't.
What a mix.
Well, the actual Journey band now is a cover band.
And it doesn't work.
I hate to break it.
You went to the show and it don't work.
I know you don't like Filipino Journey,
right.
As you call
Wiggy, can you share your thoughts on the new Journey?
Oh, Greg, you went to Filipino Journey and
have you listened to because you love him, and I know we have to get back to the news, but have you listened to any of the new Steve Perry Christmas album?
No.
Just came out last week.
Oh, wow. I will check that out.
Steve Perry.
Love him.
He did something really cool. His old man, his late father, was a lounge singer or something. I'm working late because I'm a singer. He took some of his recordings and then did duets with him.
Oh, wow.
Kind
of like the Natalie Cole, Nat King Cole thing.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Check that. That is like one of the biggest, whatever you call it, your moonshot.
Yeah.
It's to get the original Journey back together.
That would be your moonshot.
I would go to that concert.
Musical moonshot.
Yeah, I would go to that concert.
Are they all still alive?
I mean, I don't know, but I know Steve Perry's alive.
All right. Anyway, back to it's a tie Tuesday. Tie Law coming up at 9 this morning. But back to the rest of the news with Courtney.
This is a scary story. A guy in Danvers, 34-year-old Ryan Muldroon, has been accused of threatening to shoot up a packed movie theater of people going to go see Wicked over the weekend inside the Liberty Tree Mall. Uh-oh. So Muldroon was arraigned yesterday. He pled not guilty, saying he was just singing some rap lyrics.
Oh, a case of mistaken lyrical... Yeah. Threats.
Yes, yeah. Yep.
So he was said he was singing rap lyrics.
Right.
Not threatening to shoot up everybody who was going to see Wicked.
Yes.
Okay. What song, I might have missed this one as a hip-hop fan, does the rapper reference shooting up the Wizard of Oz?
I don't.
I think that was Lil Poopy.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, we have some courtroom audio.
Okay, all right.
The defendant is actively telling people in the movie theater, I'm going to shoot all of you in the head. And the police report states that the defendant was sitting directly in the row behind the victims.
Oh, my God. Okay. That would be it for me. That would be it.
That's one of your biggest irrational fears.
Yeah. Jeez. And I have to say, going to go see Wicked, it did not cross my mind
it
once.
It didn't? Okay, no. Good.
We're past the Rubicon.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg, question?
Yes.
What's the lady wearing a mask for?
They still wearing them. Some
well, they say there's a really bad stomach virus going around right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I know a few people that are out with it.
I would have one rule if I was hosting for Thanksgiving. If you show up in a mask, I'll just kindly ask you to go somewhere else.
Right. It's like, Curtis, I was walking through the airport, and people are wearing them, but they're wearing them under their chins, literally having conversations with people, you know, 2 inches 2 inches away from them.
It's so ridiculous.
Just let it go. It is what it is.
It reminds me of the time where you could go to a restaurant and you had to have your mask on around other people, except when you were eating spitting food all over everybody else.
That was my favorite on the plane. You had to have it on unless you were eating, which is like, so COVID stops when you eat? Yeah. Think of the idiocy.
It's bad.
It's our new normal. I was on the plane, and the dumb lady in front of me gets on the plane and then is sitting on the plane and asks the flight attendant for a mask.
For a mask on the plane.
Yeah, you were walking in the whole airport. You're sitting out there in the terminal, and as soon as you get on the plane, you go, you know what? Excuse me, miss, can I get a mask? Yeah. I was like, what a moron.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Well, from time to time, we do go to your happy place, Greg. We go to Nantucket.
Yes, my favorite place in the world.
And this is a pretty good story. High school students on Nantucket tried to rent Edith Stone Lentini's property on Airbnb to throw a little Halloween shindig.
Okay.
The inquiry was allegedly from a mom of one of the students. Okay. It read, they just want to do a fun dress-up get-together to take some photos and eat some pizza, you know? It wouldn't even really be a party. I will leave the house spotless, and I'm sure nothing will be ruined.
Okay.
Edith felt the inquiry was sketchy, so she ignored it.
Okay.
The high schoolers then reportedly took matters into their own hands, breaking into the house and throwing the party anyway.
Damn.
The Nantucket Police Department called Edith around 10 p.m. on November 1st to ask if she knew that a party was going on. She told them no, of course. There is an investigation into the entire thing. Edith flew out to her house. If you're watching on Twitch, Mitch has the listing of the house.
It's a nice crib.
It's worth around $3 million. Cool. Okay. $3 million. And she's talked to the Nantucket Current, Edith did, saying they took all the pictures and mirrors off the walls. They took all the pillows off the sofa and put them in the basement. They moved all the furniture aside, rolled up my white carpet and moved it into the screened-in porch and moved my TV.
Oh, so they were polite and courteous
partiers. Yes, she says, as much as I'm upset about it, they did take care of my house.
Hi, this is Edith, and I'm concerned about using leaf blowers.
That was Edith back in the news.
So now you have to worry if you're putting your place up on Airbnb and there's an inquiry and you say no, the people are going to go there and have a party anyway.
Because I'm sure the kids were just checking to see if it was still up there, and then they knew it was going to be empty that
week. Can't they find another house rather than get a B&E charge?
There's some big issue for Thanksgiving in New Jersey with the Airbnb. We got two Airbnbs because the whole entire family, there's like 20 people, and apparently the township in New Jersey has some sort of ordinance on how many people you can have in the house.
Oh, so it's not like a brothel?
I guess. Or so one of the,
isn't a brothel where prostitutes go?
Yeah, but that's what they were
just saying. Or they're just worried about. I don't know why they do it. I have no. But the one guy is like an absolute hardo about it, and is like, I need an exact amount of people that are going to be staying, sleeping. You can't have the whole full Thanksgiving thing. In the you know, you can't have it in my house. It have to be in the. It's like, yeah.
Well, that's the part of the Airbnb, though, right? Don't they get to lay down the rules?
But if you own the house in the township, you should be able to have as many people as you want in it.
Yes, like,
not for that. I mean, if you're renting it out as an
Airbnb. Especially for a holiday.
Yeah, but if you're if you're the Airbnb owner. You lay down rules, or like the story we just talked about.
Yeah, maybe the guy just is. Maybe it's not like he says it's an ordinance, but maybe it's not.
Yeah, he's probably like, listen, I don't want 50 people in my house tearing it up.
I'm sure the people that create these ordinances do not follow them themselves. Kind of like when Gavin Newsom was out at French Laundry when every restaurant had to close.
Right. All right, what's next?
We now know the most hated Thanksgiving foods. There's a top 10.
Oh, wow.
And we can go through them. So
I got to believe that the green bean casserole is on there. I don't know why people want that.
Gross.
I don't either. Like, my cousin Jennifer wants that on Thursday. Like, it's disgusting, the green bean casserole. Yep. But go, what is it?
So number 10 is carrots.
Okay.
All right.
Now,
people do carrots with, like, brown sugar or something. Like,
hold the carrots.
I don't mind that.
Number 9 is pumpkin pie.
Okay.
Really?
Which will also be confusing because we're going to go to the most popular pies next.
Okay.
But. Number 8, coleslaw.
Gross.
I love coleslaw.
Yep.
Love some good southern slaw.
I love
that's
coleslaw.
A big thing in the South, guess, at Thanksgiving.
Slaw.
I would never think. That's like, coleslaw is good for one thing and one thing only, and that's you put it on a pulled pork Sammy.
I love some good slaw.
Okay.
Number 7, mashed potatoes.
7? Wow. Just chimes specifically? Or
probably.
Any kind? Yeah.
Yep. Number 6, green bean casserole.
Okay.
Gross. Yeah.
Number 5, cranberry sauce.
Oh,
I don't like it either.
I would have had that at number 1.
You don't like it?
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
You have to have cranberries.
I don't like it, no.
It's actually America, you don't.
Number 4, yams.
Nope.
But isn't yams just sweet potatoes?
Yeah,
I'm always confused by
Yeah, yes. They are.
I'm confused by that one.
Because I like sweet potatoes, but I feel like I don't like yams.
You probably just don't like the word.
Yeah, maybe. It's all about the marketing.
Oh, the yams. Oh, she got some yams on her.
Yeah. Yams has a bad PR department.
Yeah, they do.
Number 3.
It's attached to yam bag, and people are like, wait a minute, why am I a yam bag?
Number 3, ham.
What?
Ham?
Yep.
Sorry,
Wiggy.
Yeah. Aha. I don't get it.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
No. I wouldn't be taking a victory lap yet.
Oh, really?
Number 2, stuffing or dressing.
Okay. What?
And number 1, turkey.
Oh, my God.
Oh, because there are some people who don't like turkey.
Yeah, so they did it all by percentages. So 35% of people in America don't like turkey.
See?
Bingo.
My dad's one of them.
They like ham more
than
they like turkey.
My dad doesn't like ham, though, either.
I got to tell you, I like jamon. I don't like ham.
If you don't like ham or turkey, what do you eat on Thanksgiving? I know that we had some chicken palm that we used to make, but...
My dad has steak.
Not everybody's Italian.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Why, he doesn't like turkey?
No, my mom makes him a steak.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. And then she dresses him.
So a steak.
Isn't that what your mom does?
She lays out his clothes. She doesn't have to actually. My dad is very capable. God bless. Very healthy man.
No, but she's in control. That's because she wants him to wear
She likes him to look nice.
Yes. Wow. What would happen if your dad, who is the sweetheart of a guy, came downstairs in an outfit that was not laid out for him?
Oh, I think my dad could pick out some nice outfits, but if it was something my mom didn't love, then she would say, please.
Go back upstairs and change.
Yeah. Sandra does not like when I do that.
And they go there, when it comes to their choice of attire, it's coastal swinger. Right?
No, it's not swinger at all. They're very monogamous, the two of them.
Okay.
Right.
Could you imagine John Cox, who grew up listening to this radio station forever?
Yeah.
His daughter gets the opportunity. He's so thrilled. And now he realizes that the show he used to love talks about him and his sex life.
Well, I mean,
that's because his daughter brought it up.
Courtney did.
I thought it was an interesting fact that the neighborhood I grew up in, I found out later in life, happened to have a lot of swingers.
It was a swingers community.
No, it wasn't a community of swingers. Right. And it's like, we live there. My Aunt Kathy, they live there. My grandparents live there. No, they're not. They're not.
How do you grow up in a neighborhood? Or not you. I get you. But your parents lived there a long time.
They knew.
Right. They knew.
Right. But they didn't partake.
Auntie Kathy knew.
No. And didn't partake.
Where's Auntie Kathy? We got to get the perfect money shot.
What in the world?
And then when we were in Florida, we met a
They're best friends.
They're best friends. And they said, we're right around the corner from a nude pool. Right.
No, you guys told them.
And he said, is that code?
No, but there was a...
You guys told them.
How's the Wi-Fi?
The guy, then they ended up talking to the bald-headed guy, and he was like, oh, yeah, the nude pool. So I was just, I backed away.
Interesting.
Oh, I didn't tell you what I saw yesterday when I went, took a run over to Trader Blow's. I don't know how you feel about this, but there was a dog, lovely, lovely dog, tied up outside of Trader Joe's.
Hate.
Nobody around, probably inside shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Hate it.
That okay.
Douche move.
Is it a douche move?
Of course.
It really bothered me. It was literally like I came walking out and the thing was out there. Stopped to see, you know, put my hand out to see if he or she was okay with petting.
Mm-hmm.
And was, but nobody came along.
How long was the dog out there for? If it's a quick run in and run out, then that's not an issue.
Would you leave your kid tied up outside?
Right.
No, the only
but
way
a kid
that
can go in a store, right. A dog can't.
The only way that's okay is if you're running in to grab a coffee. Like, legitimately, you've already ordered it. You can't bring the dog in, so you run into Dunk's
like
or
Bamboo
Starbucks.
Like Bamboo Juice Bar, where you can still see the dog outside, exactly. But you can bring your dog into Bamboo Juice Bar.
Right. Or maybe, Annie's on the corner there.
Maybe that's the situation here, that he had to run in and grab something.
Greg said that he was out there with the dog.
But
for
you realize dogs, it's not their... cool with being tied up.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. That's what a dog is. Like, when you think back in the days, you know, when there was horses and buggies and people had dogs, they just let them roam free. No, when they took them places.
I mean, Johnny Cakes in the Twitch chat is like, oh my God, Greg, come on. Who cares? Like, I guess people don't
care. It's not
care.
Like they...
Oh, it always makes me sad. I'm always so nervous. Like, what if somebody steals your dog,
well,
too?
See, that's one thing, stealing the dog. But the dog, you're not harming the dog if you tie a dog up. Like, I don't know. Uh-huh. You know in the South that a lot of people leave their dogs out overnight?
Oh, my gosh.
And they tie them up?
Because a lot of people do it doesn't make it right.
No, but there's nothing wrong. What's wrong about tying a dog
tying
up on a long
up
leash?
In the middle, tying a dog up in the middle of the city.
Yeah, you guys are
just from
a different
world.
Outside
of a store with all kinds of random people coming around. To me, it
seems
you're
from
like,
a, you're
but, Wiggy, that's different. If you have a dog behind your house.
Tied up.
But that's, I don't know if tied up, but if you're in the, if you're by the seaport,
you're
inside shopping for 20 minutes and your poor dog's just sitting there tied up.
Yeah, you guys are just from a whole different world.
Leave the thing at home. Like, like if you're going to go for,
but maybe that person took him on a walk.
No.
There's a lot. See, that's what, like, I get if somebody ties a dog up during a storm and leaves a dog out there, but I don't get, like, what's, because this is kind of like what dog snobbery.
It's
like
not,
the whole snobbery,
really
like
the where, dog's probably so scared.
No, no.
It's outside, tied like where, up to a pole, doesn't
look,
know where the owner went.
Where you look down upon people who might tie their dog up.
I'm not looking down on anyone. I just would never do it.
No, you say it's wrong. But it's not wrong when there are, like, a lot of people in the South. There are these leashes that they have in backyards that they tie from tree to tree.
Yeah, my friend's dog unfortunately died on one of those, so
right,
be careful.
So they have those.
Yeah, but if you're in the seaport.
They did. The Darby's dog.
Courtney has a story about
that.
No,
death, they found the dog. We were in elementary school. They found the dog hanging because it was running back and forth and it got tangled. So.
I will never forget, we're driving on a lovely night to Capitol Grill. Wiggy's ripping Florida. And it's whatever the highway is to Naples. And Courtney just totally matter-of-factly states, oh, this is where that girl was abducted and killed 6 years ago.
Yeah. Can we stop and throw flowers?
I was like,
well,
okay.
I am that SNL Debbie Downer skit sometimes. I'm like, womp, womp.
Yeah.
They're eating the dogs.
Oh, no.
They're eating the cats.
They're eating the pets of the people
that song.
Who live there.
you dog snobbery
just,
people.
I'm not a snob. It
no, there are a lot of people
threw
who do
me for
it.
A loop. Like, don't, I just don't.
It's not a bad thing if you got to run in a store and you can't bring your dog in. You tie the dog up outside real quick.
Yeah.
And you go in the store. It's not like you're leaving the dog out there for 2 hours.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the news.
Just quickly, we have the three favorite pies for people come Thanksgiving. So it completely contradicts the last story I did.
Mm-hmm.
But the top three pies, number three, pecan.
All right.
Number two, apple. Number one, pumpkin.
Thank you. Redemption is mine.
So there you go.
Nothing beats pumpkin pie.
And
Redemption song rejoin?
Oh, Great song.
As long as it's not a cover. And then the Mrs. OG Hill, didn't she do like a pecan pie?
She did the pecan pie, yes. Right. But I'm a pumpkin person.
Oh, okay. Like
you're also a pecan, not pecan?
Pecan or pecan. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me.
If you had the option and calories were not relevant and you could have a pizza pie or any other pie, which would you choose?
What do you mean? What's
like a pizza or a pie?
Or a pie.
Oh, pizza all
day. Pizza, yeah.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Not that crazy.
All right. Thank you, Courtney. That's the news. And speaking of Courtney, here she is with what is trending right now.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, Kristaps Porzingis is back. He helped the Celtics get to a 126-94 win over the Clippers in the second of a back-to-back for the guys. That is the biggest point differential in a win for the Celtics so far this season. They're now off until Friday for an NBA Cup game in Chicago. The Bruins are looking to keep the winning streak alive when it comes to games under Joe Sacco tonight, taking on the Canucks at the TD Garden. Puck drop is at 7. It is the return of Jake DeBrusk. And Jim Montgomery got his first win as the Blues head coach. Monday Night Football had the Ravens beat the Chargers 30-23. And that's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 39 degrees in Boston. Most cloudy skies after tonight.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
49.
That was Jake DeBrusk on his triumphant return, his redemption tour, and back at the Boston Garden for the first time since he was unceremoniously said farewell to by the Boston Bruins. Or I guess as he would like you to look at it, that he did not want to be here any longer. So,
and I also saw that he was talking about like how he was excited to pack for this trip because it's a second home to him. So, I mean, it is that's probably very emotional for him. I saw he was on the ice yesterday and he was talking with Jeremy Swayman. And so
he said, my goal is to pack for this trip. And my other goal was when I was playing for the Boston Bruins last season. One. But whatever. I don't. By the way, the back and forth earlier and throughout the show, I guess, on Jim Montgomery and whether he forced his way out of here is of interest to me because I keep getting text messages on the Subaru of New England text line suggesting that it is outrageous to think that anything occurred other than Jim Montgomery being fired by the Bruins and then him just luckily landing himself a new job 4 days later.
Right.
But isn't the onus on the organization that controls his fate? Like, if you own the Bruins or run the Bruins, and you're about to fire a coach or release a player, wouldn't it be on you to see before what you anticipate the market would be so that you're not allowing him to go somewhere without any sort of compensation? Like, if they fired him, I agree. I mean, you should never have a coach enter the walk here, which is why the Patriots decided to move on from Bill, because instead of extending him, they didn't want him to enter a year as a lame duck, and I don't think Bill would have done it, rightfully so. So
why the Red Sox got the deal done with Alex Cora.
At the midway point.
You know, even though, hey, they had decided they weren't going to talk about it till the end, they got that done.
And so especially when you think about the tumultuous offseason with the goalie, you know, the public negotiations that went bad with Cam, like, the whole thing was a recipe for disaster, and clearly Sweeney didn't want him long-term, and the players had a million opportunities, Greg.
Well, I wonder if the Swayman thing influenced Jim Montgomery. Like, I wonder if he sat there, he had an offer in front of him from them, which was maybe it was a reasonable offer. And then he looked at the fact that they weren't going to cough up the extra, you know, whatever. If you, you know, Rich, I think Rich Scoops Keefe had said at one point they were a couple million dollars apart. Bruins were offering 6.5 and they ended up at 8.5. So they were two. Maybe he looked at it and said, I'm not going to deal with this every single time there's somebody who wants a free agent or somebody who could be a free agent and or somebody wants to get extended. I'm not going to deal with it every single time where they're lowballing it. I mean, I
but do you think that's more likely, or do you think that he didn't like being under the management and the way that they were making him run things with? He wasn't able to put his coaches in place. He had clearly, it seemed like he wanted to be around hockey people that talked about certain things when it came to hockey. He wanted to be able to pick his staff.
Well, I mean, I guess if you believe that he got himself out of here, like if that was his intention,
right,
then there, and you want to pick what he didn't like, it was either that it was either Cam Neely and Don Sweeney and the way they managed him, or it was the players.
I would think that it was more, do you think if a guy had taken a team to the playoffs and in that season set the record for wins and then the next year took them to the playoffs again, didn't set the record for wins, but another really good season, and unfortunately they lost in the playoffs both of his 2 years being here, then all of a sudden, it's kind of the same players. You think it's more of the players, or he doesn't like the way he's being managed, especially putting out a very, very good product. Granted, it might be the regular season, but maybe what they're saying to him after postseason losses, management, is rubbing him the wrong way, where he's like, I want out of this place.
But then after the postseason, if management is doing that, I'm with Curtis. During the offseason, he would say, okay, then release me. I want to go to a different team. Why go in and play and be 20 games in and then have it all happen the way that it did?
He's on the contract. Maybe he feels like management will change the way they're doing things because he is a good coach.
But then you can't. Then you don't agree with what Greg just brought up, that maybe he didn't like the fact that maybe year after year he was going to have to deal with them lowballing free agents. Because if he doesn't believe that they're going to change for something like that, then he doesn't believe that they're going to change when it comes to him.
But they just gave Pasta $11 million and McAvoy $9 million. And then they gave Zadorov and Lindholm a ton of money. So they weren't lowballing. They were lowballing
Swayman,
one guy.
I would just say, guys, I think that Montgomery rightfully feels his team's overachieved thanks in part to him in the regular season. He balanced a very difficult goalie tandem successfully.
Except here. In the playoffs.
Exactly, because the playoffs you don't use too. But I think that Montgomery sat back this offseason and was like, we had the best season in the history of hockey. We advance around. We got further than we did the year before. And you're having me beg for my supper?
Right.
I think both sides, I don't think that Sweeney and Neely appreciated what Monty did during the regular season enough. And I think Monty took it personally. And clearly Cam shows that he can get personal when it comes to negotiating contracts.
And what it's showing me, or maybe what it could have some stanky residue out there, I don't know if it does, similar to a Kraft Mayo situation and front office situation where Monty wants to do things. What happened?
Oh, we just said we lost a little bit of the pine needle. What do they call those? The bows? Yep. Or the?
Oh, it fell down?
Garland.
The garland. Thank you, Jackson.
You're welcome.
Good job.
Yeah, the garland fell.
Yeah, the garland goes flaccid during hockey talk.
But Greg, I think maybe they were trying to micromanage the way he coached. Maybe he wanted to go with one goalie, but they said, well, goalie Bob says we should rotate goalies. Or maybe it was the vice versa. I'm just saying, maybe he felt like he couldn't do it the way he wanted to do it because they were always inserting themselves, yeah. whether it's through coaches that were already there when it came to power play and PK that you brought up.
Well, I mean, it's clear, I think, when you, and we heard him during They Said It, he has an affinity for St. Louis. It's the wife's hometown. It's they gave him a second chance.
You can sell that to somebody else.
Okay, that doesn't matter. No. It's all about the money, it's all about the power.
Said, hey, you come here, you can hire the guys that you want, you can hire the coaches that you want, you can run it the way you want to run the on-ice stuff. Not that he wanted to be involved on who they were going to, you know, sign and free agents, but it doesn't, like, smell funny to you that a coach gets fired and then a couple days later another team fires their coach? And the coach that just got fired, they were in the playoff hunt. And the other team wasn't too far away from the playoffs. Yeah. And then that new team hires him a few days after they fired the other coach. This within a week and a half?
Yeah, it is of interest, I think. But water under the bridge.
We'll never know.
You got Joe Sacco, and he has these guys on an absolute heater.
All right.
Two-game heater, and Jake DeBrusque back tonight. So we'll see if they can make it 3-0 under their new head coach. And you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Speaking of running, it appears that the field, Curtis, for this year's Jingle All the Way 5K will be the largest in the over decade-long history of this charitable 5K. We are well over 1,200 of you incredible people who have signed up to run or walk their way through the Seaport in Christmas garb in a couple weeks. That is on the 7th of December. And what year is this for the Jingle?
The 11th.
Mm.
And awesome. I have to say, kudos to Ashley, Greg, everybody at the foundation. Brilliant idea. Ken and I are broadcasting at the beginning, so people run away from Ken faster. I think that'll help
yes.
everybody.
There will be a special Christmas edition of the Ken and Curtis Show in the Seaport on Saturday, December 7th, and there is plenty of room for you, and it's basically a party, and a quick 5K breaks out at the start of it, and then we go back to great food and great music and great drinks and all the Instagrammable things, Courtney, all the Christmas Instagrammable things.
And the best part is you do the little run or you walk, and then you just feel guilt-free the rest of the day when it comes to all the food and drink.
That is correct.
And frivolity.
If you want to get into the Christmas spirit, then you can do it at this event, and there's plenty of time to sign up, and there's plenty of time to get a little training in over the next couple weeks and walk or run your way through the Seaport on Saturday, December 7th.
So, how's your training going? We haven't gotten an update.
I was waylaid by the near-fatal Achilles injury, and so Dan was just texting me this morning about whether we're running today or not, and I have meetings. And
is he talking about Mayor?
Not Mayor, no.
Oh, you're not running.
I'll do the same thing. I'll probably run alongside my good friend Bobes and see if I can make it the whole way running.
Also, just for preparing myself, are we cooking for tomorrow's show?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know about that. Are we?
I mean, I was planning on it.
How is that going?
I was just gonna make mac and cheese. My favorite thing to make for Thanksgiving.
We're making a side or something.
I was gonna make an app.
Oh, you're gonna make an app. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. I can put that together.
I'll ask the wife if this I can get a little extra on the side when she's cooking.
Okay. Jackson?
Yeah, I'll make something. Sure. Okay.
I love coyote. Greg, I have an idea for the Ken and Curtis Show, live from the Jingle All the Way 5K 11th annual on December 7th. What if we have just a guest mic that's just waiting there for people to come up, like a guest lead?
Ah, I think
if you finish the race, you want to hop on.
That'd be huge. Yeah. Are you guys going to do this? Do you know if you're doing the show out of doors or in the Grand or what? Do you know where you are, where you will be?
Good question. For most of my life, I didn't. Okay. I would say Ken is in charge. Okay. I would guess wherever. The Grand, it sounds like a place that Ken and I go often, so that might be a good spot.
Yeah, you guys.
Excuse me, social distance, please.
You two are big bottle service guys.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you can't stop.
I love that they created a rewards program at the Grand, because I've really been taking advantage of that.
So affordable.
The merch is selling like
hotcakes.
We can't keep it on the shelves. So if you're looking for some sort of a Christmas gift for somebody who listens to this program or has been involved when it comes to the foundation in the past, we have created the white sweatshirt, the Seaport Christmas sweatshirt with the fabric inlays.
Tartan
is what is most popular currently, but you can get all that stuff. Just go to thegreghillfoundation.org.
That's considered off-white in the Seaport, I think.
Thank you in advance for your support of the foundation.
I think I'm going to go off your design for the sweatshirts, and I think I'm going to do tartan-themed wrapping paper this year for
really?
My gifts. Yeah.
Huh.
I have to order my wrapping paper soon so that it's
just
in on
get
time.
Them wrapped at the place where you, like, I mean, so much effort. Yeah.
Not very green.
It never looks good when you wrap things.
Unless you're a good wrapper.
I try.
You're a good rapper.
I try.
Spit a few bars.
Yeah. Oh. But no, I think tartan is.
What is tartan? Because you keep saying tartan.
I know, it's like the word of the day.
Yeah, I know. Like
you're looking at it on the screen. So if Mitch could put that back up, where it says Seaport that and where the elbow patches is, that print is described as tartan.
It's like the go-to Christmas print. It's like the red and green cross print thing that you see on.
So bougie. Like,
it's not bougie.
It's just the name of it.
I've never heard that. Literally.
It's not.
I have some Christmas like pajamas or whatever. Yeah. Shirt.
Wiggy thought tartan was what he used to drive through to get to practice in Brockton.
Have you ever heard of Curtis? You're probably the most
bougie.
Yeah, well traveled of all of us.
Yes.
Have you ever said like during Christmas time, oh, let's make sure our Christmas pajamas are in tartan?
On James's life, I have never heard tartan before until Courtney used it.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Do you do the Christmas tradition of the pajamas with James? I mean, that's a go-to easy one. You do that as the night before present,
yep.
And
yeah,
it's done. And
I think we'll do that. I just actually, yesterday at Trader Joe's, I got caught up in the Christmas spirit. They had 12 unscented candles, and I grabbed those. He loves candles, so I already got him a gift there.
Right.
Did you get a Grinch tree at Trader Joe's?
No, I got a $2 bag of rolls.
All right, well, make sure he has tartan PJs for Christmas now that we know the word.
So join us. I think, at least Curtis and I, Wiggy, are you coming out? Maybe walk your way through the jingle or come afterwards?
You have to double. What time's it start?
I know you don't run. It's like a 10 o'clock. No. 10 o'clock start. So
I could never do that.
A little party in the afternoon, little Saturday fun day, and we'll see you there on December 7th. Go to thegreghillfoundation.org for more information. By the way,
the Twitch chat is enraged that I don't know what tartan is.
I'm with you. Who the hell does know?
Like, what in the world?
It's Scottish.
How about this?
Thanks.
Listen to this. This is the best thing about this show.
Welcome to the Rock.
An individual who won't be named is offering up Celtics tickets to the male and female winners of the 5K. Arguably the best person, the best human being within the Celtics organization. You know who I'm talking about right now, Wiggy.
Yep. All
right.
Deuce.
Good for him. Oh, he does a great job.
Thank you, Mr. X. And yes, we'll do that. So
and it rhymes with Hale because he deserves to be thanked.
It's not Rob Hale. He's a great guy too, though.
Okay, sorry.
All right, go to thegreghillfoundation.org if you would like to join us. And also, we lost two giants when it comes to supporters of the Greg Hill Foundation last week. Two longtime supporters of the foundation, two good friends who I wanted to mention. David Crowley passed away, and David Crowley was a pioneer in the ski industry. Without David Crowley, none of us would have ever had the Wah Wachusett jingle stuck in our heads. There would have been no homemade luge competition at Wachusett Mountain without David Crowley. He passed away last week. And Steve Euless, who was an unbelievable guy, who ran Fireflies, the barbecue place in Marlboro, helped us create the Great New England Barbecue Festival that the foundation did for many, many years, and was a guy that anytime, especially during the pandemic, when we were trying to figure out ways to raise money and help restaurants, was would call me all the time with ideas and was just an extraordinary guy. Both of them, extraordinary dads, extraordinary family guys, and very supportive of the foundation. And so I just wanted to mention that and thank them for that. And we will take a quick break and get to Thai Law on a Thai Tuesday next.